Time to run.
The Extra Mile Podcast, Galloway Edition. Our podcast, Galloway Edition, is a podcast for runners of all abilities who want to learn everything they can about the Galloway Run, Walk, Run training method right from Jeff himself. This podcast will run, walk, run you right through Jeff's 20-week half marathon training schedule and gently get you to the finish line of your half marathon injury-free.
Welcome to episode 7 of the Galloway Extra Mile Podcast Half Marathon Edition. This is your host, Kevin, and you and I are out in the mid-morning, rainy hours of Friday, November the 22nd, 2013, around my neighborhood on what is a rather somber and certainly historic date for those of us here in the United States. As I said, I'm out in the rain today, so if I sound at times like I'm speaking to you underwater, you'll know why. But I got things to do this afternoon. I have this J-O-B, and a little rain is certainly not going to melt me. I, on a selfish note, have been feeling amazing lately. My running has once again returned to being my best friend. My running and I, for a while, although we still hung out together almost every day, we weren't close buddy buddies like we had been in the past. That's been going on for, I think, a couple of years now. But once I discovered and hopefully fixed for good a little health issue, it's back. And I've got that feeling again. You know the feeling that I'm talking about. It's mojo, and I got it, and I love it. So I'm not gonna get into the little health thing. Some of you, or most of you, probably listen to that other podcast, and I've gone into it in about as much detail as I care to over there. So let's see, episode 7, this is flying by. And although this is probably a selfish thing to say, I'll say it anyway. From my perspective, I hate to see this thing end. I think I tweeted, or I actually put it on Facebook last week, after spending about an hour on the phone with Jeff Galloway. You get off the phone with this guy, or you get done listening to a talk of his, or a meet, or meet him at a expo, whatever. When you are exposed to this guy's positive attitude about a sport that we all cherish and have such a great passion for, it can't help but bring you up, no matter where you were at the beginning. You know what I mean? I got off of this call and I immediately posted on Facebook something about just hung up with Jeff and what an amazing conversation we had. You literally hang up with this guy and want to put your shoes on and go run 100 miles. Okay, 5 miles, but still. And my point is, this one's coming to an end. And it makes me a little sad that this project is winding down. So anyway, Jeff and I are putting our little heads together on what the next big thing might be, but nothing yet. But stay tuned, huh? So episode 7, we're going to cover weeks 16, 17, and 18 of the To Finish program of the Jeff Galloway Run Walk Run Half Marathon program that can be found in Jeff's training programs book. Within that time period is the big day. Week 17 is race day. And I guess I'm pointing this episode more toward those of you who still have your big day coming up. But for those of you who have already run your race, it's also a great way to listen to some of Jeff's tips and then recount in your own mind if you did some of these, and if not, could they have helped? And will you certainly try to add them on your next big day? So, with that in mind, I will, as a spoiler alert, tell you that although many of you may only be days or a week or two away from the big day, your learning and preparation for that day has not stopped. And Jeff will point out how that preparation can go up to and include the things you do on that big day. So, like I said, another great conversation with Jeff as we catch up between trips. Now, as far as our Galloway guinea pigs go, you'll recall in the last episode that we got the lowdown from Suzanne and Sheila on their races. Nate was just a little ways away from his big day in Hershey, Pennsylvania. So, what I thought I would do is give those three a break this episode and ask them to come back with us on episode 8, where we will ask Nate how he did, as well as get an idea from all three of them exactly what they came away with from this experience. But we did manage to catch up with guinea pig coach Chris Twiggs yesterday and had a great conversation about an amazing race that he was able to take part in that, if you are a marathoner, certainly has to be on your bucket list. Chris was able to use this wonderful sport we all love to make memories for him and his family that will last forever. So let's get to the good stuff, huh? We'll chat at the end. Y'all enjoy your extra mile.
And once again, let's head back over to the Extra Mile Podcast Galloway Edition hotline. And we're going to speak again with my favorite guest, Jeff Galloway. Good morning, Jeff. How are you today?
Well, Kevin, I just can't be any better. It is just a nice, cool day in Atlanta. Can't wait to go out for my run.
What's cool to you? What is Atlanta cool these days?
Well, anything that is below 60 degrees is, for me, cool. But this morning, it is more like low 40s, so it's chilly.
Well, listen, I know that we usually start by catching up and figuring out where you've been in the last couple of weeks and where you're going to be in the next couple of weeks, but I'd like to shake it up a little bit today and start with some big news. about your website that that I've discovered in the last few days, because during today's episode, I'm going to be referring people to some of the links on your website based on what we talk about. So it looks like you and your team have completely revamped your website.
Yes, it's been a process ongoing for the last month and a half, but I think we have finally pushed the plug in, and it is working. We're very excited about it. It has some new graphic stuff and makes it easier to access so many of the things that that we have there. Let's face it, we do a lot of different projects, and so the website is Grand Central Station, and Michelle Langevin, who headed up this project, has just done a wonderful job with it.
Yeah, you know, when I started playing around with it a couple days ago in preparation for our talk, that was the first thing. Well, first of all, I don't know if clean and crisp is the right way to describe it, but that's what came to mind. But the biggest part is that I found was easy. You're right. You have a ton of stuff out there, a ton of free information that people need to check out, but it's just so easy to navigate. It's a wonderful website.
Well, thank you, and I will relay that on to Michelle. It took her a long time. Even though it's taken a month and a half to actually put it together, she spent the better part of 6 months leading up to it trying to figure out the things that we needed to improve upon. And it's always nice to see someone who really focuses and then gets the job done, and Michelle is one of those people.
Maybe we need to refer some of our politicians in Washington D.C. these days to Michelle for some help on some internet websites, huh?
Well, you know, I don't get into politics, but I do wish people would work together. Let me just say that.
I'm just trying to find Michelle some more work. That's all.
Yeah, really. Well, she's got enough.
Yeah. Well, listen. Let's move on and play a little bit of. Where in the world is Jeff Galloway? Tell me where you've been in the last couple weeks since we spoke.
Well, last week I was at a wonderful event, my favorite event, actually, of all events that I go to year to year. It's the Walt Disney World Wine and Dine Half Marathon, and it's a full weekend of activities, including this year there was a meet-up, tweet-up that was on Thursday night that went past midnight. So it was a lot of long days and maybe a little sleep deprivation, but it was just joyous. The event itself, of course, encompasses a sports and fitness expo, and Disney has fine-tuned those so that they've selectively gotten a lot of interesting companies to go there. People tell me that that they love just going around the expo and finding out the goodies and the samples, but also new products that they haven't seen in other areas. My joy is just sitting there solving problems for people as they come by, and it's just a steady stream all day long, both days, of people who have stories, have lifestyle changes, personal empowerments when they were down in the dumps and discovered running. And the run, walk, run has been the common thread. They were not able to do anything running-wise when they tried to run nonstop. But virtually all of these people, the whole world opened up again with running when they used the right run, walk, run. And it's just great stories.
I was down there, as you know, as well, for a vacation. So I know that the weather really cooperated for that race as well. It was gorgeous.
It really did. The event used to be held right around the 1st of October, and it was pretty warm the first 2 years. So last year they moved the date to be the middle of November, which impacted me because I haven't been able to go over to the Athens Marathon the same weekend. But what it has done is provide cooler temperatures, significantly cooler temperatures than the 1st of October, and it was really nice. I will admit that there were some people from some cooler climates that thought that the 70-degree starting temperatures were a little too warm. But, you know, for Central Florida, this time of year, it was wonderful.
It sounds like you had a great time, both literally and figuratively. Can you share with us about your great time as far as your the clock goes?
Well, my wife Barbara, by the way, who suffered a fifth metatarsal fracture in around the first of August, made her race comeback and actually ran the distance, the half marathon distance.
Good for her.
And actually was not that far behind what she normally runs. So I was so glad and proud of her for sticking it out through those weeks of not being able to do any running
right.
at all. And that muscle memory took over. And I waited at the finish and greeted her and so forth afterwards. It was just great to see that smile on her face.
Yeah.
In my case, I have a goal on December 1st of trying to qualify for Boston. I tried at the Air Force Marathon in late September and was unsuccessful by 38 seconds. So what I've done since, I've had several races, and I've used the races as my speed workouts for the time goal. I need a 9:33 per mile average, and so I've been trying to average on the races, which have been 10 miles and half marathons, a 9-minute pace or faster. And successively in these races, my times have come down. And I ran my fastest average on this one. It was an 8:39 average, which really surprised me. I was really just trying to maybe get around 8:50 to 8:55, which I would have been very satisfied with. But I started out at 9 minutes and just kept getting faster. I found that a ratio of running 30 seconds and walking 15 has really worked well for me to accomplish the time that I'm working on. And it was wonderful because 30 seconds is just so short that you can focus on it. And in my case, I can run fairly fast for 30 seconds, even at my age. And it was wonderful to keep picking up the pace. Is there something about the spirit that gets lifted when you're able to keep doing that at the end of a race like that?
Did you keep that ratio the entire race, or did you find you felt so good toward the end you stopped some of your walk breaks? Or?
Well, I'll confess, when there was a downhill, I would cheat and glide on down through a walk break.
Sure.
And occasionally, towards the end, I would do two cycles together instead
gotcha.
Of one. But for most of it, 90% plus, I was doing 30-15.
Good for you. Congratulations.
It was fun.
What's coming up? What's on your calendar in the next few weeks?
Well, we've got a new event for Disney. They're doing a meet-up, tweet-up in Atlanta. And this is not a precursor to a Disney event in Atlanta. They have no desire to do that. But they are trying to do an event outside of the Disney properties just to provide those folks who have not been able to get in to the meetups on site an extra opportunity to get in. You still have to be at your best perceptive powers to to click on and get on this, but it's going to be fun. We're going to start and finish at Turner Field. The Braves are a partner of Disney and vice versa. And we're going to run under the Olympic rings, 1996 Olympic rings, and then around the state capitol, and then back to Turner Field. So we are going to have some fun this weekend.
Nice, nice. What else? You got some beach retreats coming up, if I'm not mistaken, on the...
Yes, we still have some room in that. The two beach retreats are going to be the 20th through the 22nd of December down at Blue Mountain Beach, and also at Blue Mountain in February. I guess that is the 14th through the 16th, Friday through Sunday on each case. And these two are going to be individually oriented, individual running form evaluations, a chance to really talk through problems that each person has had. These are not high volume ones. We do not allow a lot of people to come. We limit the number so that we can individualize. And Barbara has a presentation also. Most of it is myself working with folks on motivation, on getting faster, how to improve endurance, how to get rid of those injuries and naggers that have been coming on. And then, particularly this time of year coming up, it's setting up a plan for the year, one that makes sense, it's realistic, and how you tell whether it's realistic. Anyway, it's a beautiful area there with hundreds of miles of forest trails and just a beautiful beach there, a white sand beach, and very relaxing, as well as once the group gets together, very invigorating.
Very good. Well, I'll put that link in the show notes to those retreats in your new website, but you're really not going to need that, because if you just go to jeffgalloway.com, it is so clearly noted. There's a tab for retreats, and then the one you're referring to is at Blue Mountain Beach, Florida, and it's clearly marked Blue Mountain Beach. You click on that, and it gives you everything you need to know. So I'll put them in the show notes, but trust me, this website is very clean and easy, so
I
no
really
worries
appreciate
get to that.
And
yeah,
also,
no problem.
We still have some space available at our Carmel, California retreat that will be in January too. It's a beautiful location. The weather the last 3 years has just been as perfect as you're going to get in January. We've had all of our clinics outdoors in January. It's
nice,
really
nice.
Really been nice.
Yeah, that one, by the way, if you're interested, is January 24th through the 26th of 2014. So,
yes.
Very good. While we're on that topic, Jeff, can we talk a little bit about, and we're talking about your beach retreats and the new website. Can we jump and talk about Christmas and the holidays that are coming up? Because the two really go hand in hand, and the holidays are quickly approaching. Can we talk a little bit about some ideas you might have to fill the stockings of the of our favorite runners in our life?
Well, this is, holiday time is that period when people bond together and like to help one another. I think that's the general thing. And so what I'm asked about a lot are certain gifts that would enhance the running experience for other runners. And, of course, you have the usual things, which are the run, walk, run timers, the apps from Lolo Fit, beach retreats if you're looking for a little bit higher and more personalized coaching, or some e-coaching from me, which is available from the website. But lower cost items are there, and there's some really nice starter kits. The basic starter kit is my book, Galloway Training Programs, along with the timer. And with the combination of those two, people have the information and the little coach, the little green coach, to get them on the road and get them programmed into a gentle run, walk, run amount. As a matter of fact, if someone wants us to set up the run, walk, run timer to the ratio that's appropriate, we'll be glad to do that as an extra service. We've got books on running till 100, on qualifying for Boston, for Women's Guide to the Half Marathon, Women's Guide to Fat Burning, Women's Guide to Running, Women's Guide to Walking, a walking book that has training for 5K, 10K, half and full. Run, Walk, Run book is the newer one, and it has really been snapped up by a lot of people who want to get their friends into taking walk breaks, runners that have burned out or whatever, and they know that they'll be helped if they can get the right resource. And the Run, Walk, Run book has really done that. By the way, the Women's Guide to the Half Marathon has a fat-burning program while training for a half marathon. So it fulfills two roles in the information category. And, you know, each book has its own information and focus. The mental training book, for example, how to get motivated and how to stay motivated. So just go to the website, look around, you'll see a book for practically every runner you can really imagine.
Very good. And once again, if you go to jeffgalloway.com, you'll see a tab that's clearly marked eShop. And once you click on the eShop, then there's tabs clearly marked for whether you're looking for books, DVDs, the timer, accessories, even clothing and apparel, and like Jeff said, his e-coaching retreats and running schools too. How cool would that be to wake up Christmas morning and get a note in your stocking that you got to lace your shoes up because you've got an e-coaching session coming up with Jeff Galloway?
Well, I heard from several dozen people this weekend who told me how much it meant to them to get one of my books given by a close friend of theirs, and it bonded them with the friend, and they appreciated my autograph that you get included with the website. So we're here to help.
Very good. Very good. Let's move on a little bit, and I got another topic I'd like to talk about before we get into the meat of this episode as far as the training program goes. And I'd like to talk a little bit about Joy Johnson. She's an 87-year-old or 86-year-old runner who's run 25 years in a row at New York City and unfortunately passed away recently. Can you talk a little bit about Joy?
Joy was appropriately named. She was just a wonderful person, and she's been coming to our Tahoe camp for a quarter century, and everybody just loved her. She's a grandmotherly type person, and yet very quietly, she was such a determined runner that she not only qualified for Boston over that time period, but she usually won her age division all through the decades. And the interesting thing about Joy is that you just knew that she was a good person, and you wanted to be like her. She ran New York and had a fall. And the next morning, she has a ritual of going down to where the Today Show is being recorded in Rockefeller Center. And Al Roker picks her out of the crowd every year for the last 20 years or so, and he did that this year. And Barbara was watching the show and saw that she had a bandage on, and Al actually called attention to it. And Joy, in her own way, just passed it off and said, no, it's nothing, it's just a surface scratch, you know. Well, after the show, apparently she went back to her hotel room and took a nap and just didn't wake up. It was a very similar situation to what happened to my father at exactly the same age, 86, almost 87, in which both of them focused on their running. They did not want to pass out of this life lying on a bed for weeks and months. They wanted to be out there running until it was time for them to go. They had their wish. We miss both of them. We miss Joy. Wonderful spirit. And I'm going to dedicate my next run, Space Coast, to her.
Oh, God love her. She would have been 87 years old on Christmas Day, and hence the name Joy. And
yes.
I don't know whether you heard this or not, Jeff, but when she went back to that hotel room and laid down and passed away, she still had her running shoes on and laced up.
That is just amazing. That's another, I had not heard that, but that's another coincidence with my father. He had run in the Peachtree Road race the day he passed away, and came home, took a nap because he was tired. This, in this case, got up and tripped over a sidewalk and hit his head, causing a hemorrhage to occur. And then he was taken to the emergency room, but same situation. He was in his running clothes.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I know that all of the Galloway runners that show up out there at Tahoe consider themselves a family. And repeat customers out there. So I'm sure they are all feeling this loss. And I'm sorry for all of your losses, Jeff.
Well, and the Tahoe group actually sent out a Facebook and an email message yesterday saying that there would be a noontime memorial run for Joy, which is occurring about right now. And so let's send our good spirit and good thoughts about Joy.
Well, listen, let's dig into Episode 7 a little bit here. Episode 7 is covering weeks 16, 17, and 18 of the Jeff Galloway Half Marathon to Finish program from the Galloway Training Programs book. And week 17 actually includes the big day. So let's concentrate a little bit on that big day if we couldn't. What I'd like to do, Jeff, is recap a little bit of where we have been in the last 15 weeks of the training using the Galloway Run, Walk, Run. And I'd like to mention a few items and have you remind us, if you could, why we've been doing them. As an example, we've done 5 magic miles leading up to this day. We've done long runs every 2 weeks, including our last one of 14 miles. And then we've also been doing cadence drills and acceleration gliders. Can you remind us a little bit about those items and why we've been doing them?
Each one of these components is like a piece in a puzzle. And if you work on each one of them, you blend a powerful effect in your training, that where everything comes together. The form drills, cadence drills, and the acceleration gliders help you improve your form, and you become more efficient, you become smoother. This relates not only to less effort, but you can actually run faster while running at the same energy level, so you really have a lot of benefits there. The Magic Mile gives you that opportunity to glimpse into the future and see what your potential is, what you're capable of doing within the next few months. It's based on more than 50,000 instances, but it's a regular reality check and tells us, keeps us centered, keeps us focused, and it also shows progress because practically everybody improves, and with each improvement, you're showing that you have the potential to go faster if everything works right. The long runs, of course, give you that extra endurance. So you're building endurance with the long run. You're making yourself smoother and more efficient with the form drills. You're getting that reality check on pacing with the Magic Mile.
You mentioned earlier these 3 items or 4 items we talked about were pieces in a puzzle, and I think that's such an interesting concept because I can't tell you how many times I've spoken to people about run, walk, run, and their response is, I do that. You know, yeah, I do the Galloway run, walk, run. And so when I start asking questions, they think it's just going out and walking a little bit and running. So they're not really doing justice to run, walk, run, because I had a friend 2 weeks ago who had run a marathon and didn't do very well, and he said, well, I did run, walk, run. Oh, really? Well, what was your long run? Well, I did a 20, and I did an 18. I said, so you didn't really do the Galloway run, walk, run. You didn't do all of those pieces in that puzzle.
Absolutely. And let me just say that any form of walk break, if it's done from the beginning, is generally much better, produces a better effect than not doing any at all. But if you go with the method, then you have a strategy in place that produces the greatest amount of resilience in the legs at the end, which then makes you recover faster, run faster, and pass a lot of people.
Absolutely. Well, listen, these have been designed to prepare us for that race day, and I'd like to talk very briefly about some of the run, walk, run items that you've designed to get us through the race itself. So can you talk briefly about something you call magic words and maybe dirty tricks?
Yes, these are mental training techniques that can be practiced while you're running, while you're driving somewhere, at any point in the day. If you mentally rehearse the challenge areas that you've had in the past, and in the process set up a mental plan for dealing with those challenges. Now, when it comes to the first aspect, it is rehearsal. So you identify areas of long runs or races in the past that where you've had challenges, and you break those challenge areas up into a series of small steps to get you through it, and you rehearse, just moving from one step to the next. One of the easiest ways to identify steps is just the amount of running and walking. And one of the biggest changes that has helped people stay focused and not lose their pace in a race is when they come to a challenging point when they're starting to slow down, they will just reduce the amount of running they're doing. If you were doing a one-minute run and a 30-second walk break, then if you're struggling, drop down to a 30-30. That almost always allows people to recoup in the leg muscles, to have that resiliency, and then to go on. But mentally, it's even more powerful, because if you're slowing down during the last portion of a 60-second run, then once you reduce that to 30, you can focus, and most people can really run right on through with a good pace for the 30 seconds. And a lot of folks end up speeding up when they do that. So rehearsal identifies the problems, sets up a series of steps. You rehearse those steps over and over again, and then you are ready for those challenges when they occur during the race itself. The magic words, it's actually a form of brainwashing that's used in a lot of mental training and psychological programs. But for the positive, we're going to associate two or three key words with successful experiences when they started to not be successful. I have three magic words that I use: relax, power, and glide. And I encourage individuals to set up their own magic words. But the words aren't magical in themselves. You identify the situations that have caused you problems in the past, and then you go back in your memory bank and you access those experiences when you started to lose it in those various areas, but then got it back together again. And then attach some positive words to those experiences. And as you associate words with experiences, when you say the words over and over again, then you can bring back the positive, confident feeling, empowerment feelings that you got from overcoming the problems in the past. And the more of these experiences that you associate with the words, the more magical those words will be. And they can, as you keep saying them under any type of challenge, you can keep propelling yourself forward, farther and farther in a race, and feel stronger as you go. At this stage of the program that we're talking about now, Kevin, it's very powerful for people to have those ready in advance should negative situations occur. It's not the negative situation that usually causes people to dramatically slow down. It's the lack of confidence that a person has when they undergo that, and allowing the subconscious brain to generate negative hormones. As soon as you have a plan, you shift gears into the frontal lobe, and then you are in control over your destiny over the next few minutes. And as you keep saying those magic words, you stay in the conscious brain and away from the negative hormones of the subconscious. And then the dirty tricks are fun. Those are the ones at the end when you just need to get from point A to point B, and point B being the finish line.
Sure.
And yet, you know, it's the finish line is not in sight yet. It's still maybe a mile away. So if you start to get the stress-induced negative hormones coming out of the subconscious brain, get back in the conscious brain by focusing on a quick fix. One of the most popular of my dirty tricks is the giant invisible rubber band that I recommend you bring with you. And if somebody passes, you lasso them with the giant invisible rubber band. So you're focusing cognitively on this, and you have to use your right side of your frontal lobe, the creative intuitive side, to imagine the invisible rubber band going over their head and around their waist, and then you cinch it up. And all the while you're doing this, you're getting away from the negativity of the subconscious brain, and you're moving yourself closer to the finish line step by step as you're doing that. Now, what usually does happen, to be honest, is once you get into this visualization of a giant visible rubber band or some other quick fix, the left side of the frontal lobe says at some point, now wait, this doesn't make any logical sense. That left side is the logical side. So you have to laugh at yourself, but the right side is engaged by the creativity of this, and the right side is the side and the entity, the brain entity, that searches for and finds sources of strength that you didn't know were there. And what a wonderful thing to have happen in the latter stages of a race.
Yeah, Jeff, you know what impresses me a lot is that you and I have spoken over the last several years about other programs. You know, some of them only have a 20-mile long run. Some of them might have different sorts of speed work, how they differ from run, walk, run. But I cannot think of another program that incorporates the mental aspects the way yours does. Not only, I mean, every book I've picked up of yours has at least a chapter or two just on that, and you've got entire books on the mental training part of this.
Well, yes, Kevin, thanks for bringing that up. I truly believe that the power of running is in that it tends to engage that frontal lobe. Now, we definitely, as humans, will shift back and forth between the subconscious brain and the conscious brain. But if we have a method that we train with, and it's not too late, even if you have a race this weekend, it's not too late to mentally train yourself by using these techniques, then you're in control over your attitude.
That's perfect. So we get through, we use our dirty tricks, we use our magic words, we use all the pieces of the puzzle, and we finish our half marathon with a smile on our faces and wondering when our next one is going to be. But we've got an important, week to 2 weeks after that race of recovery. Tell me what some tips I might want to remember for after that time period.
I have already heard this week from dozens who ran in the Wine and Dine and a few other races this past weekend. And one of the common threads is how powerful the run-walk-run was in allowing them to recover faster, as opposed to races in the past where they ran more, at least in the first half of the race. So you can really prepare for recovery first during the race by having the right run-walk-run ratio during the first half of the race. It's very crucial to do that from the beginning. But as you finish up, the recovery starts with the walking for 15 minutes after the race. You don't want to stand. You want to keep walking. What that does is it pumps blood through the legs and provides for the recovery process to start immediately. In addition to that, within 30 minutes, you want to eat a snack that is composed of primarily simple carbohydrates. And if it's a half marathon, 300 calories is what is recommended. If that snack also has 20% of the calories in protein, that is of benefit. The Accelerate and the Endurox R4 actually has that in the mix. But if you can't get 20% of the calories in protein, just go for 300 calories of simple carbohydrates, because that will go the most, that will get you almost all of the recovery reloading that you need in glycogen being processed. But the crucial thing you need to know is that half-hour timetable after the finish is when you need to ingest those 300 calories of simple carbohydrates. Then during the next 2 weeks, I recommend running and walking in some form every other day. The off day could be walking or nothing. Walking is better because, again, every time you walk, you're going to pump blood through the legs. And after a hard race, blood flow is what is going to help the recovery process proceed better than anything else.
Perfect. And once again, on your website, there is a complete section on race recovery that you want to check out on Jeff's website, as well as in the textbook on the Galloway training programs. On page 95, there's an entire chapter on race recovery. So don't miss that. Don't miss that either. Well, listen, Jeff, I want to be the first, but certainly not the last one, to thank you for everything that you've done the last 7 episodes of this podcast. And as I've said in the past, there's just no way that we could ever cover all of your training programs, all of the things that your training program book covers in such detail. And that's why, honestly, we ask people at the very beginning to get a hold of that book and follow along. But hearing you verbalize many of the most important parts of that program is the real reason and the value, I think, of this podcast. So hearing you to discuss them and add your examples is something that the listeners keep telling me time and time again that they just could not do without. They keep sending me their emails asking that we continue with this podcast. So thank you. Thank you very much, first of all, for everything you've done in the last few months for this podcast and our listeners.
I appreciate, Kevin, the opportunity to work with you. You are so good at what you do, and you have a spirit of helping people that is really out there. People tell me how much they get out of this and how much they appreciate your work. We are a team. We have different capabilities, and you present this material so well, and people are getting a lot out of it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a fun gig, and it's a passion. Listen, episode 8 of this podcast, I hope to have hope to be a little bit of a special edition. We hope to talk to some of the listeners who've been following along and are willing to share some of their results. And if I could, Jeff, I'd like you to come back one more time and talk to us about a subject that that's near and dear to some of our hearts, the people who don't live in Atlanta and might have to help us get through the cold winter months coming up. And I'd also like to have a special discussion with you, if I could, about taking this half marathon base that we've worked so hard to get and build, and letting run, walk, run propel us to maybe the next obvious step, which to me would be like maybe a February marathon.
Well, that is actually very doable and is done, in fact, by thousands and thousands of people these days. They use the half as a stepping stone. And let me just preface this jump by saying that it's totally doable. You may want to reduce the amount of running, increase the amount of walking that you're doing and the ratio, but hundreds of thousands have made that jump successfully. And while the half marathon gives you almost all the empowerment of finishing a marathon, there is an extra level that the marathon bestows, and so don't count it out.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm just thinking of this right now, but if I, you know, we've gone through a, let's call it a 15-week program. No, let's call it a 17-week program, because at week 17 is actually our goal race. So, and I'm not sure I can even do this, but if I jump to week 17 on your marathon schedule, that happens to be a 17-mile run. So, it, you know, and we've already done 14. It's, so you're right, Jeff. It's just a tiny little jump, you know, to go from the half to the full. So
it is.
It really is. We'll maybe touch upon that a little bit in the episode 8, if you don't mind. And I'm crossing my fingers that we'll have some very special guests about a perfect February marathon on that episode as well. So
good, and I'm sure that you and I can concoct some new exciting news too for the new year. So we'll just work on some of those items too.
Perfect. Well, listen, thanks again for your time today, Jeff. And please pass along our congratulations to Barbara. I'm sure she was like a chained dog or something, finally getting let loose and head out there for her races. I know how much you two love to get out there and run together.
It was joyous, and I will definitely congratulate her. And, Kevin, thanks again. I just really enjoy working with you.
You and me both, Jeff. Thanks very much for your time. Have a great rest of the week.
Sounds great.
Okay. See you, Jeff.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's all we need. Thanks, Jeff.
And let's head over to the Extra Mile Podcast Galloway Edition hotline, where we've got Mr. Chris Twiggs on the phone with us again. Hi, Chris. How's things today?
Hey, Kevin. Things are great. We've got a little bit cooler weather here in North Florida, which means just terrific running weather.
Perfect. Listen, besides being the National Program Director of the Jeff Galloway Training Programs, I'll remind you all that Chris has been the official coach of the Galloway Guinea Pigs for this podcast. And Chris, I thought since Suzanne and Sheila have completed their, or they had completed their half marathons when we spoke for episode 6, the last episode, I thought that maybe just you and I would chat a little bit on this episode about a few topics I wanted to hit on, and then we would get the details on how Nate did it at Hershey on the next episode, and then maybe some final thoughts and impressions from all the guinea pigs as well as yourself. Is that okay?
That sounds great to me. I enjoy talking with all of those folks, and I know that the listeners are going to really be excited to hear how Nate did when we get to that next time.
So before we get to, I want to catch up with you where you've been, what you've been up to since last we spoke, because it's some pretty amazing stuff you've been through. But before we do that, let's catch up a little bit on the Galloway training programs, if we could, please. I'm assuming that it's a very, very busy time of year for you with it, with racing season, and all these training programs have been pointing for so long toward the fall racing season. How are things going with the training programs?
Things are going really well. We had a big contingent of our members that went to the Marine Corps Marathon. Jeff was there and gave a couple of running schools and spoke at a couple of events there. So we had a pretty big group of folks that ran that marathon. I love Marine Corps. It's a lot of fun. I've done it 5 times and expect I'll probably do it again in the future. And we also had a bunch of folks that did the New York City Marathon. We have a bus that we get for that for our Galloway folks, help them travel out there. And it was a good event. It was a little bit bittersweet, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners know. There was a Galloway member who had run the marathon many, many years and was a little advanced in age, and she was profiled, even had a few minutes with Al Roker on the Today Show, and then sadly passed away later that day. So that was a little sad, but the folks that had been traveling on the Galloway bus for a few years had gotten to know her, and she was a sweet woman, and based on what I've heard from her daughter, this is the way that she wanted to go. But overall, things have gone very well for Galloway. In addition to targeting these fall marathons and having a good time with those, we have a lot of new programs that are coming online. And we were talking a little bit before we started recording here. I think I think probably we've started 6 new Galloway programs just in October, and we've got a few more that are going to be teeing up in November. So for any of our listeners that are in Greenwich, Connecticut, or in Dayton, Ohio, your programs are coming soon. And we've got new programs that have just started or just are getting ready to start in Asheville, North Carolina, and in a few other places. So it's great to see that things are growing. And I'll remind the listeners that if you don't have a Galloway program in your area and you're interested in getting one started, please email chris@jeffgalloway.com. And I'll get it going. Although don't email me this week because the Galloway email addresses are malfunctioning due to our website updating. So maybe email Kevin and he'll forward those to me when things are restored.
Sure. Send me a note. Also, there's a spot on the website that you're certainly welcome to go to, and it automatically sends a note to Chris as well. But these new cities we spoke about, it's not concentrating on, it's all over the country, Washington State, Texas, Michigan, California, Connecticut, Ohio. It's amazing. The stuff's catching on, huh?
I think there's something to this. I think there's something to this. So we definitely have interest from all over. And one thing I really, really love about the Galloway program is that if I'm traveling for work or for vacation, if any of our members are traveling for work or vacation and they're traveling someplace where there is another Galloway program, that they're welcome to run with that program. We're all using the run-walk-run ratios that Jeff recommends. We're all using the Magic Mile to help us determine what's the right pace and ratio for us to use. And so it's like running with new old friends everywhere I go, and it's just terrific.
It's interesting you mentioned about the traveling thing, because I saw on the website something I didn't know about the training programs, but if you're out there and thinking about this, considering joining one of the training programs, but you're just not quite sure, you're still on the fence, you're welcome to join for a free run with any of them at some point and see if it's something that that you want to jump into. So I think that's pretty
cool. Yeah. Absolutely. We definitely want guests to come and run with us a couple of times to try it out and make sure that it's for them. So we'll occasionally have a few folks that just happen to want to join us for the 26-mile training run, which is not necessarily the best time for you to jump in and try a Galloway group. But, you know, if you're trained up to it and you're ready for that distance, then that's okay too. And we'll welcome you there, and we've got the water set out. Oftentimes we'll have nutrition in place as well. So we love to have people try out the program. Most of the time, as long as it fits into their schedules, they'll join and be happy members, and that's what we want.
Great. Well, listen, let's catch up on what you've been doing the last couple of weeks, and particularly on where this job of yours has taken you recently. Where have you been?
Well, I was in Athens, Greece, and nice. it was a wonderful opportunity that I had. It really is. It's the result of Jeff's busy schedule that he just can't be everywhere that he wants to be and can't do everything he wants to do. And so sometimes I have to pick up the slack. And this time it meant I had to go to Athens, Greece. So poor me. I took one for the team here. And so while Jeff was down at Disney doing the Wine and Dine half marathon, that was the same weekend as the Athens Classic Marathon in Greece. And this is the third time I've gone over there. It is an amazing experience. I think anyone who runs a marathon should put this one on their bucket list, to be in Marathon running the historic course from the plains of Marathon to Athens itself is just amazing. It's not only the route that historians say Pheidippides took 2,500 plus years ago, but it's also running along the same roads that Spiros Lewis ran in 1896 when he won the first marathon in the first modern Olympic Games. So it's just an incredible experience. Unfortunately, there's not a half marathon, but there is a 10K and there's a 5K, and those events are even bigger. More people do those even than the marathon. So it was a great time, including a wonderful tour of different parts of mainland Greece and the Peloponnese. There's a group called Apostolos Greek Tours that brought Jeff over for close to 20 years doing the marathon and giving clinics when he was over there. And because of Jeff's commitments to Disney, he couldn't make it last year or this year. So I went over to give the clinics and to do the talks and just really, really enjoyed it. My dad went with me this time, which was a thrill to have him there. Yeah, he did the 10K and really enjoyed it. And just a terrific time. So I loved it. It threw off my time clock a little bit because I was trying to stay up late so that I could Skype with my family back home and at the same time get up early so that I could lead runs and do clinics over there. So I'm glad now to be back in Florida and back on my regular time and just, you know, trying to fulfill my regular commitments.
Right. Did the 10K occur at the exact same time? Was it a mass start as the full, or were you able to watch your dad?
I was not able to watch my dad. The 5K and the 10K were timed so that those runners would be finished just before the elite marathoners finished. They used the same finish line. The marathon, 5K, and 10K all finished in the Panathenaic Stadium in Athens. This is an ancient stadium that's been there since classical times, but it was built up and seating added back in 1896 for the first modern Olympic Games. And so all three of those events finished at the same finish line in the same stadium where the first marathoner finished a marathon event, and also where the Olympic Games marathon finished in 2004 when the games returned to Athens. So it's a neat area, but unfortunately it meant that I couldn't see Dad, although he did get to see me as I finished the marathon. And another thing that's neat about this event, and I think is perhaps unique, I'm not aware of other races doing this, but in all of the little villages that the marathon, it is point to point, obviously, in all of the different villages the marathon passes through, there were kids' fun runs that were scheduled, and they were scheduled in the same way that the 5 and the 10K were, such that those fun runs would finish just before the runners came through and before the marathoners came through. And so as we were passing through these villages, we saw kids with their finishing medals around their necks, cheering for all the marathoners and holding out olive branches for us to carry as we went by, and all of that. It's just a neat event.
I saw some of the pictures on Facebook with you and your father, and I thought, what memories! I mean, for both of you, these things you've made memories over there with your dad that will obviously last both of you forever and ever and ever. How cool!
Oh, it really is. As we were coming down from the Parthenon, he mentioned to me, he said, this is someplace I never thought I'd be, and I'm seeing things that I only ever saw in history books. So it really is terrific. Last year, I was fortunate enough that my wife was able to go with me, and so we had memories there for us. And unfortunately, she couldn't make it this year. She actually competed in her first Ironman triathlon just a couple of days before I left for Greece.
Oh,
so the idea of running a marathon a week after doing an Ironman just didn't seem prudent.
I'm interested in the course over there because I picture it in my head as, you know, running through these dusty trails along hilly areas. Is it flat, hilly? Is it paved? You're running along streets? What's it like?
It is paved and it is hilly. The first, it starts in Marathon, and there's a beautiful village there that is built up around the starting area. There is a torch that's burning there and a cauldron that you can go and see. It's not, of course, the Olympic torch. That's that's ignited for every Olympics in ancient Olympia, and the tour that we were on did visit that area. But there is a marathon flame that's burning there, and it's a neat area. At about the 5K point in the race, we make a turn and do about a 1 mile loop that takes us around the battlefield where the battle took place between the Athenians and the Persians in 490 BC. And that was really incredible. You go past the big burial mound where the fallen Athenians were placed. And then after you come out of that, you start heading toward Athens. There are rolling hills for the first half marathon. And then from about 13 miles to about 20 miles, it's a steady climb. And it gets old climbing for 7 miles. It gets old. But fortunately, at about the 20-mile point, you crest the hill and start heading down toward Athens, and you've got a good solid downhill for a few miles, and then you come into the city, and you've got the big crowds that are gathered there. And the last kilometer, you make a turn and come, again, gently downhill through a beautiful wooded park, and with just deafening crowds on both sides. And as you exit the park, you can see the big stadium in front, and we run up into the stadium for the finish. So it's terrific. It is not a fast race. It's not the place you go if you want to qualify for Boston. It's not the place you go if you want a PR, but it is definitely a marathon to run for the historical significance, the pilgrimage that is visiting the birthplace of our sport. Whether you're running marathons or half marathons, it's all based on that initial run in 1896. And of course that was in honor of the great Pheidippides, who was the messenger that traveled from the battlefield at Marathon to Athens.
I say hills be darned, because what kind of a nut would go to Athens and run the marathon for a time? I'd slow down and want to make that last forever.
Well, you're exactly right. In one of the talks that I gave there before the race, I really was encouraging people to slow down, take the olive branches from the kids, enjoy themselves. And also, as we exit the park and head toward the finish line, take some time to think about what you're going to look like as you cross the finish line. If there are, and this is something I think was probably fresh on my mind, having watched my wife do her Ironman, because she wanted to have a good finish line photo.
Sure.
With the Ironman. And so as you're running through that finish line of a marathon or a half marathon or whatever, this is something that you want to remember forever. And the best way to remember that is to have a good finish line photo. So if there are people sprinting for the finish, let them go. Let them go, and so that you can have a little bit of a clear space so the photographer can see your bib number, photographer can see whatever pose you want to strike, whether it's arms up raised in victory or whatever. My wife had a curtsy when she crossed the finish line of the Ironman. So whatever pose you want to strike for the cameras, make sure that you are upright and with a smile on your face for that, because it could be a pretty expensive proposition if you look at the finish line photos and decide, oh, I need a do-over.
So, good point. You know, good point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I absolutely believe that the main reason I ran Boston my second time was because I did not have a good finish line picture the first time. By golly, it was the Boston Marathon and I wanted a good picture. So I think the same is true of the Athens Classic Marathon. It really, anything you've trained hard for, unless you are just seconds away from that goal time that you have to have, then slow down for a few seconds toward the end and make sure that you look good for the cameras.
There you go. Speaking of the package deal, tell us a little bit about, if you can speak a little bit about, if somebody were to be interested in this, in going on this next year, which, by the way, is November the 9th, it looks like, of 2014, mm-hmm. What's included in the package that they can sign up for with the Galloway Group? Is it, is it pretty much just show up, get on a plane, and they take you there, and Everything else is taken care of?
Pretty much. I mean, there are a few meals that are on your own, which is good because you want the freedom to be able to try out different restaurants and things. But a lot of the meals are included. There are two packages. There are actually three packages that are offered. There's one that's a minimal support package, which is for people that just need to fly in, do the race, and fly out. And that includes very little other than a short walking tour of the city and a pre-race talk, a little, you know, some coaching tips that I give or that Jeff would give if he's able to return, if the dates work out next year, and then transportation out to the race. And that minimal support package is good for those that don't have a lot of time. The main tours, though, there's a 6-day option and there's a 12-day option. And with the 6-day option, you have a couple of days in Athens, guided tours. The tour company that we use, Apostolos Greek Tours, has been doing this for 20 years, using the same tour guide, same bus drivers. All of the transportation that we use is private transportation. So if there happens to be something going on with the public transportation in Athens, it never affects us. And so you get guided tours of the Acropolis, of the Plaka, of all of the archaeological areas in Athens itself prior to the marathon. Then, of course, we get the transportation out to the race. We have a really fun pasta party before the race. We have an amazing celebration the night after the race, including traditional Greek dancing, dancers that come in and dance for us and then with us and all of that. So that's just a terrific time. And then plenty more time for shopping the next day. Then the 6-day folks go home, and the 12-day folks have a three island cruise that we do in one day to some of the islands that are so famous in Greece. Then we get on a bus and head toward Delphi, and we have a guided tour of Delphi, where the Oracle of Apollo was there to answer the questions of the unanswerable questions that the kings and others would bring to them. Then from Delphi, head down to ancient Olympia. We actually spend a couple of days in Olympia touring the area where the ancient Olympic Games were held, and also the area where they ignite the Olympic flame every couple of years prior to the Olympic Games that then begins the relay, the torch relay. After that, we head up to head up back toward the mainland. Olympia is down in the Peloponnese. We head up back toward the mainland after a couple of days in Olympia. We stop at Mycenae, which is the site of King Agamemnon's castle that you might have heard about in the Odyssey. Head up to an area called Epidavros, where there is an amazing amphitheater that has acoustics so great that I was up at the top of the amphitheater and a cat walked along the floor of the amphitheater and I could hear the cat meowing from all the way at the top. And then from there go for a brief stop in Corinth to see the canal there, and also for any Bible historians to know that was where the Apostle Paul visited, and then return to Athens for a little bit more time there before heading home. So it's a full experience, and there are certainly places in Greece that you don't get to see, but I don't think there's any way to see more or to have a better experience than going with our group. The website, if people want to find out more about next year's trip, it's really easy. It's just athensmarathon.com, and that will get you to the Apostolos Greek Tours group. Not only is the tour surrounding all of the marathon terrific, but the experience of the marathon is special with our group because we have our own support vehicle at the halfway point. So if you have something that you want to pick up halfway through the race or something you want to drop off halfway through the race, you can send a bag out to retrieve, or you can just drop something off for the staff to collect and then get back to you afterwards. So that's neat. We also have our own sag wagon. So if someone is having a bad day and falls behind the official race vehicles, they're not swept up if they're part of our group, because we have our own sag wagon back there that will stay with them and make sure that they get to finish. And this is the only tour group that has that authorization on the course, and it's because the tour operator has been working so closely with the race organizing committee that they're allowed that type of access. So it's terrific. I can't say more positive things about it. It's wonderful. I love to see, we had some of our members there this year that were from different cities, and the same was true last year. And I do hope I get to go back next year, and I hope to see a lot more folks that are running in our Galloway programs or that are listeners of the Extra Mile podcast, and maybe even a host of the Extra Mile podcast.
It sounds like something that has to be on my bucket list and maybe way, way, way toward the top. Nice.
Yes, absolutely.
Very good. So listen, I had a question from a listener by the name of Denise, who called the comment line. Do you mind giving a shot to answering a question? It's a nutrition question that Denise, she's from Oklahoma, called the comment line. Do you mind giving a listen to this real quick and seeing if you can help Denise out? Okay, hold on a second. Let's listen to Denise.
Hi, this is Denise in Northeast Oklahoma, and I'm finishing my last week and a half of the Galloway Half Marathon training. I have a good question for Jeff or Chris or anyone. I did my 14-mile run on Monday, but about midway through it, I was starving. Now, I eat a banana and a half a cup of tea about 2 hours before I did the run, and I had gummy fruits that I ate all through the run after I'd run for 45 minutes or so, and I was out there 3.5 hours running my intervals. Just wanted to know, how can I change that for my race day, which is in 9 days? It's my first half, and I'm trying to learn as I go. Thanks so much. I'm looking forward to my race, and I'll let you know how it goes. Bye-bye.
Well, I think that's a really good question, Denise, and one of the things that I applaud you for is trying out your nutrition plan during your training runs. We definitely do not want to try anything new during the race itself. So I hope you hear this in time, that you still have a few short training runs at least that you can try out some different things. There's not a lot that you can eat during the run that's going to make a huge difference. I think we've talked about that in the past, but what you might try is some different strategy race morning, maybe something a little more filling, maybe something with some carbohydrates in it on race morning. I know a lot of people have had success with something like half a bagel with some peanut butter on it, that sort of thing. We do a lot of talking about not wanting to overload at the pasta party the night before, that sort of thing. And that's true, and one of the reasons is because it leads to a lot of pit stops during the run. But the truth is, a pit stop during a race is not the end of the world. And if you have to stop at a portalette along the way, you won't be the only one. So it's okay, especially since this is your first half marathon, it's okay to go ahead and satisfy that hunger a little bit more. I wouldn't want to eat a huge breakfast, but just, you know, something mild and something that will fill you up a little bit more maybe than that banana. Also, keep in mind how long you're going to have between that meal and the race starting line. Some races, you have to get out there very, very early relative to when you start. And if you're in a later corral, you could be out there even earlier relative to when you would start. So time your food so that you've got time to digest it, but that also you're not hungry again before the start. Another thing you might consider, and again, this is only something to try in your training runs first, but are the different products like goo or Excel gel, power gel. There's a fairly new one called Huma gel, H-U-M-A, which is an all-natural product that I've used and like quite a bit. Things like that. Superfruit is another packaged product that Jeff really likes and that you can find out more about on jeffgalloway.com. But those sorts of things, if you eat a little bit before the run, usually about 15 minutes before you start, and then munch on just a little bit, or take a little bit if it's a goo product, take a little bit during the run. Some of the goo products say that you should try them 15 minutes before the run and then every 45 minutes thereafter. I think every 45 minutes might just be a marketing gimmick for them to sell more product to you. I think that's too much. But you need to see what your body tolerates best. So that's what I would do. I think it's okay to satisfy your hunger a little bit more when you get up in the morning, and maybe to have something a little bit more substantial to have just before the start. Yeah, maybe 15 minutes before the start and then during the run as you go. But most of all, don't try anything new on the run. If you're listening to this the night before your half marathon, then you know what? Just be a little bit hungry during the run. It's hard for me sometimes to tell the difference between being hungry and being nervous. And Lord knows, as many races as I've done, I'm still nervous during a race. So sometimes that's the feeling I have in my stomach. There you go.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you very much for the advice,
yeah,
from Chris. And Denise, I will remind you that you promised to call us and let us know how your half marathon goes, and good luck to you.
Good.
Well, Chris, that's all I got for this afternoon. I appreciate your time. Like I said, if you're up for it, episode 8 will be out in a couple of weeks, and I'd like to get you and our favorite guinea pigs back on the phone, figure out exactly what happened with Nate at Hershey, Pennsylvania, and then also talk to all three of them and to you to get some final thoughts and impressions about this whole guinea pig thing that we've done in the whole series of podcasts. So if it's all right with you, I'll be hitting you up here in a couple of weeks and asking you to come back.
I'm always always happy to talk to you, Kevin. I really am. And it's always neat when I'm at a race or anywhere else and someone lets me know that they've heard about Galloway through your podcast, or that they've found out who I am through the podcast. Please, if you're listening and you bump into me someplace, let me know that you listen to the podcast, because it's neat to know. And I understand, Kevin, that the podcast has become pretty darn popular on iTunes, at least.
It has. You know, we're doing pretty well over there, and I have no doubt it has a lot to do with the fact that we added the name Jeff Galloway to a podcast. Things tend to become popular, at least in the running community, when you do that.
Well, it's a name I'm happy to be associated with, for sure.
You and me both. All right, well, thanks this afternoon, Chris, for your time again, and you and I will catch up very shortly.
You bet. Anytime, Kevin. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
So there you go, episode 7 of the Galloway Extra Mile Podcast Half Marathon Edition. Episode 8 of this podcast, we will once again catch up with Jeff, as well as some very, very special guests to discuss taking this 14-mile long run base and the last 18 weeks of some pretty hard work and use it to maybe propel us forward. And we have some great ideas about that. So please don't miss that episode. As I said before, we will also catch up with our guinea pigs, get an update from Nate on his big day, and get their final impressions about this whole experience. And to that end, I would really like to invite all of you to call the listener comment line with your experiences, particularly if you joined us on this journey and have recently completed your half marathon. Tell us how it went. Tell us what you learned. What impressions you have of Run, Walk, Run. Give a call to the comment line with your 1 or 2 minute comments on your big day. That comment line can be found at the website, obviously, but those of you with little pencils running along with a piece of paper, that number is area code 206-339-8741. As always, thanks for the download. Chris, Jeff, and Kevin all certainly appreciate the time you give us every few weeks, and honestly hope that you're getting something very valuable out of this endeavor. And finally, before I let you all get out of here, if you are listening to this program on or about the day that we publish it, you will all realize that within a very short few days, we here in the United States will be celebrating Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a holiday that was set aside by our first president of the United States, George Washington, and was a way to remind people that at least once a year, it's a good idea to stop all the hustle and bustle of your life and thank God for all the things that He's given you in the past year. And I thought it'd be a good time to let everybody know that one of the things that I'll be thankful for this holiday is this podcast and the friends I've made through it. And probably only for a split second, but I wanted you all to know that on that Thanksgiving day, I'll be thinking about you. Till next time, you'll enjoy your extra mile.
Are we going to have a prayer? It's Thanksgiving, you know. Before we're served, shouldn't we say grace?
In the year 1621, the Pilgrims held their first Thanksgiving feast. They invited the great Indian chief, Massasoit, who brought 90 of his brave Indians and a great abundance of food. Governor William Bradford and Captain Miles Standish were honored guests. Elder William Brewster, who was a minister, said a prayer that went something like this. We thank God for our homes and our food and our safety in a new land. We thank God for the opportunity to create a new world with freedom and justice.
Amen.
Joining us on the Extra Mile Podcast Galloway Edition. Please visit our website at www.thegallowayextramile.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show at thegallowayextramile@gmail.com. If you would like to send us your audio comments about the show or have questions about Run, Walk, Run, please send an audio file to thegallowayextramile@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much for downloading the show, and we look forward to joining you again soon on the next edition of the Extra Mile Podcast, Galloway Edition. Boys, I'm running.